Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome to This is the XFL Podcast. I'm your host, Tron Hawkins. Today I'm going to talk about a guy who I talked about on Twitter a few weeks ago. The guy I think will be the first pick in the XFL draft. Now, I think a lot of people are thinking offense when it comes to XFL, and obviously so. That's why everybody's been talking about the quarterbacks and watching the quarterbacks that get cut in the NFL to see who's going to go where. But defense is going to be important in this league as well. You know how I know? Because defense is important in all football. And that's why I think the first pick in the XFL draft is going to be Sean Oakman. Now, I know that sounds weird, like I said, considering all the talent that's out there, maybe like a Hakeem Nicks and some of those wide receivers and running backs that will undoubtedly be important in the XFL, but defense still wins championship no matter what the league is. So, therefore, I think that the first player in the draft will be a defensive guy. Think about it. All these coaches, are the general managers. Their quarterback's going to be the first person they pick. So, why not pick a defensive player to have both sides of the ball covered right away? Now, this guy, Mr. Oakman, Sean Oakman, he got screwed over unbelievably by rape accusations, which he was found not guilty of, which we're going to get into all this. But he could have been a top 10, even maybe number one overall pick in the NFL draft, but 2 weeks before these allegations came out, and he didn't get drafted. Why would you not want a man destroying offenses as we speak? That's the kind of guy I would want on my team. And that's the kind of guy I think will go number one in the XFL draft. So we're going to talk about him today on this XFL podcast right after this. So Sean Oakman's Wikipedia page said that he actually started at Penn State University. He actually went to high school in Pennsylvania. He attended Penwood High School in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. He played both football and basketball. He committed to playing college football and at Penn State in July 2010. Oakman was redshirted as a true freshman at Penn State in 2011. In February 2012, Oakman was dismissed from Penn State for violating team rules. On Monday, May 13, 2012, after multiple messages by head coach Bill O'Brien, he was told that he was dismissed from the Nittany Lions football team. He transferred to Baylor in July 2012. As per NCAA rules, Oakman took the entire 2012 season off. Oakman played in 13 games as a backup defensive end in 2013. He recorded 33 tackles and 2 sacks. In his first year as a starter, Oakman had a breakout season 2014. He finished with 25.5 tackles for loss and 11 sacks. He earned 13 All-American honors from the Associated Press and a consensus All-Big 12 selection. Oakman was projected by some analysis and scouts to be a first-round pick in the 2015 NFL Draft. Instead of declaring for the draft, he decided to return for a senior season. He was not able to match his successful 2014 season. He recorded only 4.5 sacks. So if he would have came out, he would have been a first-round selection. But unlike most people in this situation, he went back for a senior year. Several mock drafts projected Oakman as a first-round pick in the 2016 draft. Chris Burke of Sports Illustrated transferred in Oakman as the first overall pick in his 2016 NFL Mock Draft 1.0, which was published a few days at the conclusion of the 2015 draft. So a year out, they already had him projected as number one pick. Oakman's production dropped in 2015 and his draft stock fell throughout the season. One AFC area scout commented he would not select Oakman in the first 3 rounds of the draft. Some of the concerns about Oakman was his skinny lower body and lack of pass rush technique and inconsistent motor chasing plays and inability to make plays against better competition. After Oakman's arrest on a sexual assault charge, which occurred only 2 weeks before the draft, an NFC executive told Lance Zierlein of NFL.com that Oakman was quote-unquote undraftable now because the case is unlikely to be resolved before the start of the draft. Zierlein believed the arrest would likely result in Oakman being removed from all NFL team draft boards. Oakman went undrafted 2016 draft. After the draft, he wasn't expected to get signed as an undrafted free agent due to legal issues he was facing at the time. In November 2017, he signed with the Triangle Torts of the American Arena League for the 2018 season. However, he later joined the Big Mark Bucks of Champions Indoor Football for the 2018 season. He joined the Spring League for its 2019 season assigned to the Austin Generals. In June 2019, Oakman signed with the West Virginia Rough Riders of the American Arena League. And then in July, Oakman signed with Black Diamond PR firm and sports management firm in Dallas and began training with Darion Griffin, in Houston in preparation for a return to professional football. That is where he got signed by the, or got invited to the draft for the XFL, which we'll get into that here in a little bit. At the Cotton Bowl Classic on January 1st, 2015, a picture of Oakman on the Jumbotron at AT&T Stadium went viral across social media, including social media site Twitter. The image became an internet sensation overnight because of his intimidating build. Oakman stands 6'9" tall. He is 6'9", 280 pounds. He's only 27, so it's not like he's old and out of shape. This man is huge. I mean, he's intimidating. I think that's what got a lot of these guys' attention. Like, that picture kind of set him off on where he was going to end up probably in the draft. Kind of like how Jadeveon Clowney, that one big hit he had in a bowl game, kind of projected him being it helped him become the first pick in the NFL draft right after that. I think that picture kind of skyrocketed him up people's draft boards, but he decided to come back for his senior year. So I dug up the NFL.com draft report from 2016 on Oakman. So this is what it says. He's 6'8" tall, according to him. His arm length is 35¾ inches. He weighs 287 pounds, and his hands are 10 5/8 inches. Here's his overview. It doesn't take long to find Oakman on the field, as his frame and number 2 jersey stand out even among the Bears' top competition. Very difficult upbringing in a broken family, he almost lost his way during his resurrection season at Penn State, where he was kicked off the team after attempting to steal a sandwich from a campus cafeteria. He was out of meal credits. Arrested 2 weeks before the draft on a sexual assault charge in Waco, Texas. It was a bit of a surprise when the massive lineman decided to return to school for the 2015 season, as he likely would have been an early round pick after recording 19.5 tackles for loss, 11 sacks, as a junior. His production was down considerably in 2015, 14.5 tackles for loss, and 4.5 sacks. Though Big 12 coaches still named him a second-team all-conference selection. Oakman will be a polarizing figure in draft rooms across the league because between his physique, senior year production, and the rape case. Pro day results, his 40-yard dash was 4.84 seconds. His analysis. Strength, one of the most long-levered pro prospects you would ever see. Built like Adonis from the waist up with thunderous power in his hands, able to create an instant bull rush thanks to arm extension and explosive hips. Can bench press tackles to set a very strong edge. Has some two-gap ability when he plays square to the line of scrimmage and maintains a wider base. Incredible length put him in position to make tackles when the ball drifts anywhere near him. Raw, but has the tools and traits necessary to improve as a pass rusher if he puts the work in. Weakness. Body type of a praying mantis with well-built upper and skinny legs. Will always struggle with his high center of gravity. Must create more knee bend as part of his muscle memory reflex to improve his balance. His pass rush consists of bull rushing. Occasionally windmilled hands to try and swat away punts to turn the corner, but mostly bull rushing. Menacing power only evident in straight line. Doesn't have leverage or lower body to translate play strength throughout his movements. Upper body and lower body doesn't seem to coordinate. Draft projection, undrafted free agent because of legal issues. Sources tell us he's going to get beat up, but I'll take a guy who has size and power. Those guys make it in the league, and they usually get better, too. He's not a pass rusher. He's disruptive against the run. That is who you have to draft. The AFC executive says that. NFL comparison, Earl Okine. Bottom line, while Oakman has caused celebrity of national media ties after images of his tremendous upper body build emerged, he has always been more project than a polished as a defensive end. While he is limited An upfield burst and no counters of the pass rusher, his length and ability to set a hard edge are no joke. With that said, his arrest for sexual assault 2 weeks before the draft will likely take him off many, if not all, teams' draft boards. And that's a shame, too, because I think he could have been, like they said, a project, somebody that you can work with. It's just kind of a shame what happened to him, because he deserved better. He deserved better than what he got after that. But we're going to talk about his case next. So, Ogman's case was a part of the Baylor sexual assault kind of fiasco that happened that made Art Briles leave Baylor. And, you know, this is back when Baylor was really good for some reason there. You know, they kind of sprung up out of nowhere, and then they was good. It was weird, but they went to a, you know, New Year's Day bowl and everything. But this case was more the prominent one of the bunch. This is what happened. This is what Deadspin said. After 3 years of being indicted on second-degree sexual assault charges, Sean Ogman was acquitted by jurors in Waco's 19th District Court. Ogman was accused of raping a Baylor graduate student on April 3rd, 2016 at his apartment, an encounter he claimed was consensual. The jury deliberated for 2 hours before delivering the not guilty verdict. The thing is, he was facing 20 years in jail. This has been going on for 3 years. Can you imagine having to miss out on football and thinking you might go and spend 20 years in prison for something you did not do while everybody else is living your dream? I mean, that's got to be hard. The woman who accused Ogman said that the two had a sexual relationship before the night of April 3rd, but when they went back to Ogman's apartment that night from a nearby bar, she said that he would not allow her to leave, instead forcibly removing her clothes and sexually assaulting her twice. The woman testified in court saying she now has post-traumatic stress disorder, as did two of her best friends, and that wasn't the same after what happened. Oakman's attorney noted the lack of compelling physical evidence in the case, as well as what the Waco Tribune Herald called conflicting testimony from officers and a nurse about the level of the woman's impairment. Oakman's case was one of the most prominent in the large Baylor sexual assault scandal, in which one lawsuit said Baylor football players committed 52 rapes in 4 years, which the administration was accused of covering up. Baylor later settled that lawsuit. Fellow Baylor defensive end Tevin Elliott and Sam Ukawachu was convicted of sexual assault. Ukawachu is appealing his conviction. Before his indictment in 2016, Ogman was considered a probable first-round pick in the NFL draft and told reporters he wants to join the league as soon as possible. He spoke about his relief at getting to pursue an NFL career, as well as saying the vindication he feels at his case should give the disgraced Baylor football apparatus. "It was never about me," he said. "It was about everybody who was around me. They slandered my name. They fired my coach. I felt like all that was on me. I was leader of Baylor, of Waco, of the community that I was in, and they took us down from the top. They took the best player off the field, and they took the best coach out of the Big 12. We are coming to get everything back because everything is ours, and it never should have been taken away to begin with. We built this program from the bottom up, and they tarnished it. They said we was this, they said we was that, but they all taught us better. Coach Briles, Just Star, they taught us better. We are not animals." Ogman went through the whole legal process, even rejecting a generous plea deal in December. But to equate his individual acquittal in this particular case with great vindication for Art Briles, Ken Starr, and all the other administrators who had a hand in covering up and minimizing the reports of sexual assault for years would be dangerously underplayed the systematic failures that led to what a student who sued Baylor called a hunting ground for sexual predators. The downfall of the program had nothing to do with some sort of revenge plot by the unnamed they to take down Baylor, and is bigger than one former player being found not guilty. As they were saying, because he was found not guilty don't mean that the other players wasn't not guilty. I think the woman lied. I think it was a consensual thing. I think maybe not everybody was out, you know, maybe, well, I'm going to say honest, a lot of women was telling the truth about that. I think this guy was in a relationship with this girl. They've done stuff before, and she kind of just seen an opportunity to go, "Hey, you know, let's try to ruin this guy's career for no reason." I don't know. But I know he got found not guilty. I don't think he was guilty. You know, he's one of the only players that kind of, from the whole thing, that kind of kept talking, kept fighting it, where everybody else kind of just took what they had kind of coming to him. So our friend's XFL board, Mike Mitchell, wrote an article that said that Sean Ogman was a player we would like to see here in the XFL. Afterwards, XFL fans heard that Ogman had, in fact, accepted a draft invite. This immediately made him one of the biggest names to be invited to play in the league. Jackson Connor recently had a conversation with Oakman to get to know him a little better and asked about his past, present, future football career. So this is what they said. He asked, who contacted you first? First for your XFL invite, and when did they contact you? He said, all of reluctant to embrace invitation, and it was around mid to late August. Had you been considering the XFL before anybody contacted you? Oakman said, I was considering it for sure. It was definitely an option on the table. Any way I could get back my foot back in the game, I was just going to take it. As you know, me playing arena, I was trying to keep my name relevant. What factors played into your decision to set the draft invite? He said, there was no factors really. Football is football. You know, if you love the game, you're going to play no matter when or where. It's not something I had to think about. If you gave me an opportunity to play football, especially a paying opportunity to play, I'm going to take it. It's a career path. It's a career decision. What does a normal day look like for you to train for the XFL? Oakman said, 6 a.m. on the field drills, running cardio, weights at 10, lunch and dinner every day. Same thing every day. Kind of like that Kaepernick commercial. Really just repetition. Being the same person every day, doing the same thing every day. Just staying ready for an opportunity, whether it's XFL, NFL, CFL, etc. How have your experiences with other pro leagues, arena, been, and what did you learn from those? He said, it's been a good experience to get back in the feel of things, being out there with the guys and feeling that locker room camaraderie. It's also given me a refresher that this is a business in all aspects of the game. From the smaller leagues to the bigger leagues, it's a business and you have to approach it as such. How has your game improved since college? Honestly, I don't know too much because I haven't been able to showcase my talent in 11-on-11 setting. I'd say I'm definitely still healthy. I've not been injured. Once I'm able to get on that field, I can really judge how much better I got. The last 11-on-11 I played was Spring League, and I was MVP of that. It's definitely a steady preparation every day to keep my body ready. Once you got some pads on, the game is going to become natural. It's like riding a bike. The same thing I've been playing my whole life, I've been pretty good at it. What is your favorite Sean Oakman corn flip meme, and how did the viral meme affect your life? For me, the tuition one or the daddy one was my favorite. It's definitely had a huge effect on my life. I was nationally known for that picture, so it gave me a platform to really express myself. Shout out to the Cowboy Stadium and the huge Jumbotron. I'd like to say it was both good and bad, just for the simple fact of going through the trial and people perceiving you in a certain type of way. Who is one person that motivate you throughout your football career and just life in general? I would definitely say my immediate family. Football has the ability to change generations of lives and coaches. I always ask, what is your why? Why do you play? My why has always been my family. To give them a better life than the ones they've had or been able to experience. As a projected first-round pick, why did you stay another year in college, and how do you think your life would have changed if you came out a year early? Well, you know God. You know they say God never makes mistakes, so I stayed for a bigger purpose. I did not stay for myself. I did not stay for anyone else but the people that needed me to stay, and that was my teammates and family. He's a team player. That's one good thing about him. He could have took the money. I'm the first boy out of my immediate family to earn a college degree, so me having my college degree, that changes my perspective of the next generation that is coming under me and my siblings. It is no longer an impossible task. Now it is a requirement and a goal that we need to focus on. It's not something we just want to do or can't do. It's a must. In terms of how my life would have changed, I'm not really sure. I think I would have been in the NFL right now, but that's the only thing I think would be different. Finally, they asked, is XFL your final goal? He said, yes. NFL is the primary goal. Just had that stamp to say, I did make it after all my trials and tribulations. It'd be great. XFL board said, good luck in the XFL. I think Sean Oakman is a great kid. I think he kind of got the wrong end of the stick there at Baylor at the end on the sexual assault charges. I think, you know, he stayed in for the right reasons. He got a degree. He's smart. He knows business now. I think, you know, even though he didn't play football in a few years, I think the Spring League, that's where the XFL seen him at. The XFL seen this guy, the coaches seen him, and said, okay, this guy was the MVP of the Spring League. He still got it. He could have been a first pick in the NFL draft. We want him in the XFL. I'm sure some of the coaches like, we need him in the XFL. Somebody like Winston, Coach Winston, who has a defensive kind of background, would probably love to have him in L.A., and that's why I got him going. I think he'll end up in L.A. I do think he's going to be a first-round pick in XFL because you're going to need defense in this league. And can you imagine? I mean, even if you got Landry Jones, if you're Lindsey Jones, you want to stare down somebody that's 6'8", 300 pounds coming at you? The answer is no. So I believe in Sean Oakman. I think the kid got the short end of the stick, and now he's going to try to make a right or wrong. This kid could come to the XFL, blow it up, and be in the NFL next year thanks to the XFL. That's what he wants. This is going to be kind of a stepping stone, and this kid deserves his chance, and I'm interested to see where he goes next month in the XFL draft. Thanks for joining me on this XFL podcast. Follow me on Twitter at XFL Podcast and on Facebook at XFL Podcast. Check out XFL Newsroom for all the latest news. Discuss everything on XFLboard.com. Let's just be a community. Let's stick together. And we're getting closer to the draft, and it's getting closer to February. I know I'm excited. Everybody else is too. Already got me some t-shirts. I got me a Seattle Dragons t-shirt. Got me a Guardians t-shirt. Got a Battlehawks t-shirt on the way. I'm going to get all 8. I'm rooting for everybody. I'm just rooting for the league, and I can't wait for the season to start. Thank you. Thank you for listening. All the support's been fantastic, and I can't wait to pump out more content in the next few months. Thank you. Have a good night.